Welcome to a MacGuffin Men Minisode. This episode is brought to you by nobody, because who the hell would sponsor a minisode? And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome to MacGuffin Men Minisode. I'm Alex, and with me is James.
Hi.
Okay. The purpose of these minisodes is to tell you what we've got coming up in the next week or so of content, so that if you want to watch the movies in preparation, you're welcome to. I believe on Tuesday we'll have an article for a movie that won't even be out yet. Have an article on The Campaign, the Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell movie that I think looks pretty good, and interested to see what James and Colin can put together about that.
All you really need to see is the trailer to understand.
Yeah.
Where we're coming from with that article.
Yeah, it's not like we have suddenly found our way into early premieres of movies, no. So we know just as much as you do. But and our podcast next week is going to be about Chinatown, 1974 movie. We just recorded the podcast. It's different from most of our podcasts. It gets a little weird at the end. But we recommend you check it out. And also a podcast that we've put out recently. We put out one on The Dark Knight Rises. So if you were a little slow getting around to seeing that, and by slow I mean you took a week, then you can go back you can go back and check out our podcast on that.
We made $300 million now in 12 days. They need your money.
And we also did a podcast on The Gray last week, and a video podcast on Drive. So if you feel our podcasts are typically lacking in Gosling, check out our video podcast from last week, and then I will say, what now? We just watched the Skyfall trailer.
Fact.
How'd you feel about it, James?
I liked it.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was pretty good. I think it looks like a cool little classy action movie, which is what I want my Bond movies to be. Like, not sort of like all handheld and stuff like that, which Quantum of Solace was. But just sort of, I don't know, I want Bond movies to look more refined than the average action movie. And that's what that trailer gave me, so.
I know, and the Bond franchise over the past, I don't know, 10 years, like, pretty much, well, I don't know, since Daniel Craig, mm-hmm. it really is in a tough place, because it wants to look modern,
yeah,
but it really wants to have that kind of English classic feel to it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very thin line to walk.
Yeah. Well, I think Casino Royale did a really good job of that.
So it was just Quantum of Solace that was too much for you?
Well, Quantum of Solace just isn't a good movie.
Okay.
Like, it was just poor. It was poorly made. So.
Yeah, I wasn't nuts about it either. Yeah,
exactly. No, I think we reflect culture's opinion on that movie.
We're with you, everybody, yeah. This time around.
Yeah. No, I was referring to my friend Culture. She hangs out with my friend Media.
We know someone named...
I know. See what I did there? It was a good joke.
The old dipsy doodle.
Yeah, that one person will get. did you catch the line that I mentioned to you that I thought was kind of a reference or an almost reference to a line we like to joke about?
Which one? No, I think I did miss it.
Not like this. Not like him. It's yes. So close to Switch saying not like this, not like this in The Matrix.
Yes. I did get that.
But yeah, no, that's the most exciting thing about that trailer to me. So
you don't like the back of the train being ripped off?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's very awesome.
I thought that went without saying.
Yeah. And I think the shot of that, the camera tilting down and all the coffins covered with the Union Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a very good shot.
Oh yeah, definitely. They've been they've been leaning on that one too. Like, it's been in every trailer. So
yeah, it's been in every one. But I think it's going to be, if this movie's good, that will be one of the iconic ones that is begging for spoof.
Yeah, I was also kind of hoping for when Naomi Harris is on that or about to shoot Bond off that train and Dame Judi Dench. I was hoping she would go shoot him in the head.
So. It's an amalgamation of every movie we quote all the time.
It's like Skyfall is an amalgamation of 1999 movie quotes we like doing.
It's all 1999.
And the soundtrack will be Prince's 1999.
Most esoteric minisode ever.
Absolutely. Let's continue on. Well, those are known. Well, at least, yeah. Anyways, we're talking about The Matrix and Traffic. That's fine.
Quick question.
Yeah.
is Javier Bardem not allowed to have good hair in anything?
Yes. Go. Fact.
True.
Fact.
You are too handsome. Yeah. We need to do everything to make you ugly.
We need to ugly you up.
What did you think of Q?
That's fine. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is this just like a reboot within the reboot?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Right? Like, that was the whole thing. Like, they kept Dame Judi Dench and everybody else get the fuck out.
What a weird place to draw the line.
The one that's most likely to die first. No offense, Dame.
No offense, Dame.
Love did doing the best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Did you see that video of her trying to christen that boat from a few years
no.
ago?
Okay. Sounds great.
So you know when you have to, when there's a new boat, you christen it by breaking a bottle of champagne on
I've seen Arrested Development, thank you.
Well, she can't do it. She can't break the bottle.
She's too classy.
Classy.
She's too much of a dame.
Dames don't break glass. I like the gun with the palm print reader.
Okay. Yep. No, that's cool for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get some tech in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you totally on board with the idea that there is no James Bond and that's more of a code name?
Yes. Yes, I am.
It seems weird to me because, like, it obviously is the most logical explanation of how these movies have been going since, I don't know, when was Dr. No?
67 or something like that. I don't know. Something in the 60s. I'm just.
I feel like it's even earlier than that.
But 1958. No, Jesus. Yeah. Or wait. No. The film is 1962.
Okay. The book is 1958.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, I'm just such a literature first kind of guy.
That's you.
Mm.
It certainly makes the most sense that's the way that works.
Yeah.
But I just feel like with all the. Like the franchises that are being rebooted, that's kind of the most logical way that every franchise should work.
Yeah.
But that's not the logic that we apply to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it interesting that James Bond, like if they can make that linear connection that I've never really heard explicitly in the movies,
mm-hmm.
but is kind of how everybody takes it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And I think we should stop talking about this because I feel like we'll probably do a podcast on Skyfall. So let's not use too many of our points.
Okay.
Yeah. So look out for that coming November, Skyfall podcast, The MacGuffin Man. Unless James and I start to hate each other when this podcast ends. But
start to.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah. Dan Harmon.
In case you start hating me back. There.
There it. We go.
Yeah.
Till I pick up your signals.
Speaking of people I hate, you said Dan Harmon?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. That was going to be my segue,
too. Nailed it.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. He's got two shows on the go now.
Apparently.
You happy?
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy you can get work. Again, I've been very vocal about I loved the first two seasons of Community, and the third season was more miss than hit by quite a big ratio. But yeah, no, it's not like he has bad ideas. It's just sort of like I wrote a thing about how I felt like he was probably just burnt out. And I mean, as much as I can put on, you know, an experience that I just have no experience doing. My thinking was that he was probably just burnt out just the way he ran Community. So I mean, but Community is not a bad idea. It's a show I love and desperately want to be good again. But I'm interested in his shows. I will certainly give him a shot.
Here's my idea.
Okay. Me, Dan Harmon, reality show.
No, Dan Harmon. Okay. It's his Fox multi-camera show.
Okay.
And his CBS multi-camera show.
Mm-hmm.
But.
They're both directed by Abed?
No. But instead of waiting for the DVDs to get audio commentary, they are aired premiering with Dan Harmon's audio commentary over it.
So this is the brilliant thing I brought to this episode.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's called Make Rehab Kill Himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know. You love Dan Harmon as a creative person.
Yeah.
Just not as a human being you ever want to hear
speak. Oh, God, he drives me crazy.
I love how much you hate him in a weird way.
Yeah, no, it's a respect, but hate. Definite hate.
So, all right. Yeah. That's fair. Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. What about him?
How do you feel?
I enjoy Jimmy Fallon.
Really?
Yeah.
Even his laughter during your
favorite. Do you hate Jimmy Fallon?
No, I do, but I feel like I have more forgiveness for people who laugh during sketches and...
You do hate or don't hate?
I have more forgiveness.
Okay.
I don't hate.
Okay. I was unclear there for a second.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
and I like late night talk shows more than you do.
Absolutely you do.
By a million points.
Yeah.
He's hosting the next Academy Awards.
Is that for real?
True fact.
Wow. Like, he's definitely hosting them?
Yes.
That's interesting.
You know who's producing?
Lorne Michaels.
Fact.
Really?
Yep.
Holy crap.
Read the news, brah.
That's super exciting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I just thought it was weird that, I don't know, I thought they would go with a big departure from James Franco and Anne Hathaway.
Uh-huh.
And I can see how Jimmy Fallon and Lorne Michaels is a much safer bet than that.
Hold on. I'm just looking this up real quick. It looks like he's in talks. I don't see any confirmation.
I've got the inside scoop.
Okay, cool. Confirmation. You heard it here first. James from the McGuffin Men. Anyway, sorry, you were saying.
No, I just mean the last one was roundly agreed as a fuck up.
which I can't even keep him straight anymore. Who hosted this year?
Wasn't it Billy Crystal?
Oh yeah, they brought back Billy Crystal. Yeah. That was brutal.
People didn't like that.
Yeah, I think one of the lines from our the thing we wrote about the Oscars was, can Cirque du Soleil just host the show instead of Billy Crystal? Which would have been nice because they wouldn't have talked. Continue.
Yeah. Well, no, just they kind of went, I don't know, old Hollywood, yeah. As old as Hollywood can go.
Yeah.
As kind of a, I don't know.
Well, they tried to go young and hip with Anne Hathaway and James Franco the year before.
Yeah.
That was roundly hated. I feel like old people might have still liked Billy Crystal. Like some,
you know? Yeah. That was definitely the worst. There was a huge backlash against that, and I think they tried to compensate with Billy Crystal, and that was kind of... Well, they tried to compensate with Eddie Murphy, and then we all know that.
Let's not bring that up. I'm still upset about that.
So Billy Crystal, I don't think people loved, but it certainly wasn't as bad.
It was safe. And I mean, they were on a really, because I mean that whole Brett Ratner thing is what got Eddie Murphy to stop doing the Oscars, and then they were sort of like, they needed something safe and trusted. So
yeah, absolutely,
because they had less time.
Yeah, and so that was kind of old and safe, but not great. Yeah. And the pendulum swung back, and now it's Jimmy Fallon, and I like Jimmy Fallon, and I think he kind of has that balance where he certainly is a company man.
Oh, absolutely.
To put it gently.
Yeah.
He did play, like on SNL, he was the, you know, young, goofy, quirky kind of guy, but never subversive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a good looking guy as well, which helps for that.
Yeah, I know. And he was like fun and quirky, but was never, you know, like... Like, yeah, I don't know. Subversive is the best word I can really think of to describe what Jimmy Fallon isn't.
He's an impressionist. You know, like that's pretty much.
His voice is channeling other people in a funny way, not saying anything detrimental to anybody.
Exactly. And he's a talented impressionist. But, you know, like Rich Little wasn't known for dropping Lenny Bruce bombs or anything like that. You know?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think this is kind of a good in between.
Yeah. No, I think
playing it safe, but still being like still hitting that young demographic. And I think he'll be funny.
Oh, I think he'd be great at it. Cause I mean, a lot of people that I know sort of just wrote off, like watched Jimmy Fallon really early on in his show and sort of wrote him off. And just because, you know, I love the Roots and that's his backing band and they do some really interesting musical stuff on that show sometimes. It seems to be the only late night show that cares about music, which I find cool. And they'll have, you know, cool bands on. And so I've seen more of Jimmy Fallon than I think most people, and certainly more than any other talk show host in the last couple of years, and he's certainly gotten better. I mean, the show is definitely not aimed at me, but to say Jimmy Fallon is the problem with, is why you don't like that show is just sort of, you just don't like Jimmy Fallon. It's not he's doing a bad job, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's very good at what he does.
He was so bad for the first little
while. Oh, it was terrible. It was like, terrible. He was next to one of his best friends, Tina Fey, on that opening episode, and he was so bad.
Yeah, no, he looked uncomfortable and nervous, and I agree. It looked terrible.
When I mean, like, I'd like to go back to Conan's first episode, who wasn't even an on-screen talent before he hosted a show. You know, it's just sort of, I assume Conan probably wasn't as bad as Jimmy Fallon, because Jimmy Fallon was, like, colossally bad. But I can't imagine Conan was, you know, good.
No, Conan is insufferable for the first little bit.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a Conan fan.
Yeah, and I hate Conan. But
I know. Yeah. And it's I know you do. And I'm saying I'm on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. But the first few years, he is... It's the same thing as Jimmy Fallon. He's just so nervous. And, you know, I don't mean that in a I could do better kind of way. It's a very tough gig, especially... I mean, Jimmy Fallon has... that SNL experience.
Yeah.
Maybe he broke during every bit he was in. But
he made it through that one update sketch.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that brings me back. That one. But you know, he was doing live stuff, and he came up and doing a lot of stand up and stuff, whereas Conan was in a writer's room.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an entirely different environment, and I think Conan is very, very very naturally funny human being. But, you know, without the experience of being live in front of a room full of people, mm-hmm. or in front of thousands or millions of people, is, you know, the way it is when you're a late night host.
Yeah.
Conan is awful for the first few years.
Yeah. I'm still, like, every time I think about that he got that job, it's like...
It's so weird.
And that's not, you know, I just mentioned I don't care for Conan O'Brien, but like, not even if I did like him, like, it's just crazy that Lorne Michaels is like, yes, this guy from the writer room hosts the show. Yeah.
Anybody in that role, even like anybody's favorite comedian, if that was their background and you gave them such a big gig, and I know it's not the Tonight Show, but the Tonight Show is your lead in and there's a lot of money riding on you.
Yeah, it's craziness.
Yeah, it's insanity. No, but in I think it's Conan's 10th anniversary special. Mr. T is one of his guests.
Yeah.
And he gives him a big gold necklace with the number 7 on it.
Okay.
And the whole joke is, you know, happy 7th anniversary, says Mr. T. And Conan says, I've been on for 10 years. And he says, yeah, but you've only been funny for 7. And it's totally the book. Like, everybody is aware the first 3 years. And, you know, people disagree about how long it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Unacceptable, but like, it was widely known that he did not find his stride for at least a couple of years.
Yeah.
So,
well, he did now, allegedly. So
apparently he has awful ratings, but yeah, good for you. Good
for
you,
bud. TBS.
Yeah, fact.
If you're not Tyler Perry, you get terrible ratings.
But he had a massive drop off because he really was that sweetheart for a while, because he was not Jay Leno and he really got the shit end of that deal, at least from the public eye.
Yep.
But anyway, listen to our Conan podcast.
Yeah, from last summer. Yeah.
Look it up. It's probably called Pizza Hut or something.
It's called Coco Chappelle. That's the one title I'm proud
of. That one actually applies.
Yeah, because we actually talked about Dave Chappelle on that one as well.
True.
Did I lose you?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
You're just drinking, and it sounded like I cut you off. So I was going to... to allow it to happen.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm not going to edit that out, so let's keep it rolling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't have anything?
No, I had Skyfall trailer.
Okay. Mark Webb?
Yes. Like him. Don't love his last movie, but like him.
Did you hear the news about him?
Is it sort of like he... Fox will let him direct the next Spider-Man if he commits to do 2 movies for them after?
Yes.
Okay.
So the...
Because he's still under contract to do 1 movie, and they want him to do it next. Well, you probably have facts in front of you. I'll explain it.
Not in front of me. Okay. Up in my mind. Great.
Okay.
So Mark Webb, director of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yep. And 500 Days of Summer before it.
Yeah.
We've done podcasts on both of his films, so check them out.
Look it up. They were called Pizza Nova and Taco Del Mar.
Anything once 2012 starts, it's a podcast with the name of the movie in the title of the podcast.
That's a good way to title podcast.
Yeah, well, should have told me about that earlier when I was racking my brain for clever titles that nobody understood.
So Mark Webb, mm-hmm. 500 Days of Summer and The Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as you said, he had an agreement with Fox to do another movie. And now it looks like he's kind of caught in this deal. So now the only way to really get out of this one is he's got to do two more pictures for Fox, mm-hmm. and do The Amazing Spider-Man 2 or whatever that one's going to be called.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? The idea of him doing Spidey 2, and
I really, really, really want to see him do Spidey 2.
Really?
Yes. Because
as someone who didn't really love Spidey 1?
See, yeah, no, exactly. But I think he was on to something. Part of it is that I didn't want to see, the structure of the movie was just so similar to the first Spider-Man. So, which, you know, surprised me. I didn't expect that. But, and that was one of the worst things about the movie.
Because Mark Webb or because of the fact that it was a reboot?
Well, I mean, yeah, because it was a reboot. I didn't want, I wanted, if you're going to do the origin story, do it drastically different. But, I mean, so many of the beats were the same, and we talked about this on the podcast. But it was just sort of, but he was on to something with the teen stuff, and Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield. And it's just like, I want him, I want to see what he can do after he's had a year to think about The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. As a quick point, and this is something we talked about on the podcast, but his Peter Parker scenes are better than any Peter Parker scenes of the first Sam Raimi trilogy.
Absolutely. Unquestionably. Yeah. And I mean, he's just a clever guy. And I thought, you know, in a lot of scenes in Spider-Man, I felt like he was kind of playing it safe. So maybe with the success of Spider-Man, he'd be able to go a little bit crazier. I mean, the action I thought was really pretty inventive at times. But the standard dialogue scenes just weren't as engaging as his dialogue scenes in 500 Days of Summer. So I don't know. I'd like to see what he can do with a big success under his belt, but I would just as much like to see what he does when he goes back to Fox Searchlight. Cause The Amazing Spider-Man sort of made me think is it the writers of 500 Days of Summer I should love and stop talking about Mark Webb in a positive way? Cause I'm really curious to see what he does as his next non-Spider-Man movie as well. I don't care which comes first. I want to see both though.
Yeah. Because these franchises like Spidey and all the big ones,
mm-hmm.
they've already got their 2014 date.
Yeah. And,
we're just past the halfway mark of 2012.
Yeah.
We've already got this figured out, and movies take a long time to make. And big blockbuster movies take even longer to make.
Yeah. And
so you'd have to get to this pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And Spider-Man, they're sort of rushing it out. Not rushing it, but they're adding that really this has a date now. That is very much because that movie was the most well-liked by people that are young, which is what they were aiming for. They wanted the Twilight audience. They wanted the Hunger Games audience, and they succeeded, which is why and those franchises, like Twilight, you know, we got six movies in a total of 4 years. Like, the Twilight franchise is going to end this November. It will have been 4 years, and there have been at least 4 movies, maybe 5. Hunger Games is shooting its sequel very shortly, maybe even in August, this month. And so Spider-Man, it's a bigger budget thing than the Hunger Games even was. But so they're pushing it basically as fast as they can before the people they know like the first one age out of the demographic they're going for, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why Spider-Man is moving so quickly. But I mean, I guess you only saw 2 years in between Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2, but I don't know. That was just sort of it seemed to come together pretty quick, but.
Well, I think 2 years is a pretty standard gap for a lot of the franchises.
It is, but some are more okay with waiting to see how things shake out, you know, I guess the other, some Marvel movies have had, it's this hits 2 months later. But those are always sort of the ones that are surprising hits. Like, we got Iron Man 2 in 2010 after Iron Man in 2008, but people weren't expecting Iron Man to be what it was, you know?
Yeah.
So sure. I think that was sort of the iron is hot. We know the iron might not be hot in 2010, but that's literally the fastest we can make this movie.
Yeah, and
Fabs,
I think
get to it.
Yeah, and we talked about it in the Spider-Man podcast, but it is such a youthful franchise, and the way that they dealt with this in this one was particularly teen movie, as you said.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is a teen movie that one of the teens can shoot web.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's more Twilight than it is Iron Man. So.
Yeah, and it's more Twilight than it is Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Where we'll give you 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever you need to make it the way you want to make it.
Well, yeah. But for The Dark Knight Rises, the studio was waiting on Christopher Nolan, you know. So.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not the way it is.
They would have made it in 2009 if you could have put it together that fast. But.
Yeah, and I agree. It's just that I don't think Mark Webb is as an integral part of this. Mm-mm, I think they wanted to do number two. I mean, by this deal, you can tell that they want him to.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, no, I don't think Mark Webb is super integral, but. You know, I feel like somebody could easily step in and make a good Spider-Man too. But I want to see what Mark Webb can do specifically. So,
well, you're going to.
Let's hope.
Absolutely, you will.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to the MacGuffin Men Minisode. Again, be sure to check back next week. We will have a podcast on Chinatown and a little piece of pop culture criticism about the campaign. So, and upcoming episodes include, we're going to do an episode on The Bourne Legacy. So if you were kind of on the fence about seeing that movie, you should see it so you can listen to our complimentary podcast about it. Yeah, that's the only like super current thing we've got coming up, except for our 4-parter about Premium Rush. You agree to do that, right?
Nope.
Okay, so 4-parter on Premium Rush, so be ready for that. But thank you for listening to The MacGuffin Man.
The MacGuffin Man, 4-parter on Premium Rush.
It's going to be me doing like one of those YouTube reviews that girls do about Twilight trailers. It's just me freaking out about Premium Rush for 4 hours.
You're not even going to fake it with like a mirror to talk to yourself?
Nope. There's no time. Got to get my thoughts out on Premium Rush
too
immediately.
Too excited about Premium Rush.
I gotta do some bike messaging after, so I'm gonna get this done.
If you want to know what we're talking about, see a trailer that obviously blows, and it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a bike messenger.
Hold on, the trailer is amazing. You just have the improper definition of the word amazing. Anyways, thank you for listening to MacGuffin Men, and be sure to check back next week. Thanks.